How many people have your Bible today? If you have it, stand up and hold it above your head and bear witness of God's Word. This will be the authority that we use today. There is no other authority. Amen? You may be seated, please. There are several places I'd like you to turn today, but the first place is in the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Matthew 25. When you find your place, say, I have it. Matthew 25. I want to talk to you today about the sheep and the goats. How many people remember hearing something in the Bible about the sheep and the goats? Anybody? The Bible gives us an account by Jesus as he describes a time that we don't even like to think about, but he's going to give us this time. You need to hear the whole truth when you come to church, not just something that tickles your ears, right? He talks about this time of judgment that we're all going to face. Does anybody know what judgment is? It's when we are considered by someone else as to our guilt or innocence, our action or inaction, and then you get a reward or a penalty. Judgment. The only true judgment can come from God. God gave his son Jesus Christ to die upon a cross for us. He gave him the ability to judge. And Jesus is talking about a time to where he will come back to this earth and he will judge those. He will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we sang this morning, understanding that every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At the time of judgment, whether someone has accepted Jesus as their Savior or rejected Jesus as their Savior, no matter who they are, they will still confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There won't be a lot that we have to say because it'll be different than it is now. Do you know who judges you now the most? Yourself. Myself. I judge to whether I think this is good or bad. It's built in me. It's built in you also. We like to judge, and when we judge ourselves, we tend to justify the things that we do. We give ourselves reason to do them, but there will be none of this at the judgment, because at this judgment, he divides people into two specific groups, the sheep and the goats. Interesting passage, but understand, we hear a lot about the Lamb of God, who he was. He gave his life for us. We hear the word sheep in the Bible, and we don't have a lot of sheep per se around here, but he uses these examples because of the specific characteristics of the sheep and the goats. David, in Psalms 23, you know this psalm very well. David spoke as if he was a sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. If he was saying that, that meant he was speaking as a what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside of the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you hear everything from Psalms 23 as he's talking about him as a sheep? He said, the Lord is my shepherd, puts him as a sheep. I shall not want. The shepherd's providing for the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's taking me to the place of provision. He's taking me to the place to where I can live under his guidance. He's taking me to the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path. So the shepherd does the leading. The sheep does the what? We don't know a lot about sheep, but by the time you leave today, I hope you do. Because you'll never understand, I'll never understand what he's meaning by scripture, by this scripture, if we don't understand a little bit about sheep and goats. Now, I will admit, in preparing for the sermon, I was looking back and I was reading the Easter story and each gospel, the account going over and over. And sometimes I read backwards. I'll read a chapter, then I'll read the chapter before it, then I'll read the chapter before it, because you're seeing what led up to it. Why is he saying this? Well, it's because he must have said something in the previous chapter, because he must have said something in the previous chapter. Does anybody do that? Read your Bible backwards? try it. You'll find out why he said this, because he was trying to get this point across. When you go back from Matthew 27 to Matthew 25, he begins to talk about this judgment that happens, the sheep and the goats, and he begins to tell people, hey, there are only going to be two kinds of people as far as I'm concerned, the sheep and the goats, not the black and the white, not the rich and the poor, not the tall and the short, the sheep and the goats. And if you don't understand sheep and goats, so I thought when I read this, and I read a couple of passages here, and I thought, man, I am intrigued. So I began to go back and find out what I could find about sheep and goats. This took hours because I became, I guess, obsessed with what I could find out in it. So you say, well, I'm glad you studied about livestock for this sermon that you're getting ready to deliver. You'll never relate to sheep and the goats until you learn about sheep and goats. I knew a little bit about them from when I grew up, but we didn't have a lot of sheep and goats. We had cows, but I remember going to the farmer's market and seeing the sheep and the goats when they would bring them and the way that they acted and this and that. And so I thought, I need to research more. So I actually went on and looked at, and I can tell you this, I'm not ashamed. I watched a 30-minute video of a shepherd with all of his sheep and goats, and you say, how boring. And yeah, if you just look at it and say, okay, it's just a bunch of sheep and goats, but watching what happened as they were trying to take these sheep and goats and separate them and watching the characteristics of them, I learned a whole lot. And I learned a whole lot about what the shepherd's supposed to do. So it was good for me, and it'll be good for you when we talk about the sheep and the goats. Understand something. David was saying, I'm a sheep. He's the shepherd. When Jesus was talking here, he was making a clear distinction between those that were going to be with him forever in heaven and those that were going to be separated from him forever in hell. Hey, we said hell in church. Is it a real place? Understand this. If you're not interested in whether you're going to be with him forever in heaven or you're going to be separated from him forever in hell, you're probably in the wrong place today. You won't get anything out of this. But is anybody interested in knowing where you're going to be? Amen. And that's what he's trying to tell us here, but there's a lot more here. Read with me Matthew chapter 25. He begins in verses 31. He says, when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, shall come in his glory with all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. The king sits upon the throne, right? He'll be the king and the judge. It says in verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. That's all we need to read for now. What we need to understand is that Jesus is speaking about when he returns. He's speaking about dividing the sheep and the goats, these two groups. As they're assembled in front of him, he divides them. I want us to notice how he divides them, where he divides them, or where he puts them. And I want us to look at verse 32 specifically, because I don't know that I ever saw this part in here until just getting down a little bit deeper than the service. I've read it 1,000 times, but I didn't notice this until I read it. Notice verse 32. And he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd divideth, listen, his sheep from the goats. Do you see anything specific? Understand something. His sheep. Say it with me.
His.
Again.
His.
Again.
His.
His sheep from the goats. Ownership only goes to one of these animals. Which animal is he relating ownership to?
Sheep.
Is he relating ownership to the goats?
No.
His sheep, the goats. So he would divide them. How will he divide them? Like a shepherd divides them. The shepherd divides the sheep from the goats by using something that is pretty amazing. And in watching what I've watched, it's pretty amazing, because the shepherds use this tool that you would never think of. You say, well, they use a big stick. No, they don't. They use their voice. They call the sheep, and then they push the goats. Pretty neat. They call the sheep, and they push the goats. You say, well, What kind of application does that have for us? Do you remember in John 10 when Jesus was talking about him being the good shepherd? He said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and are known by mine. What he's saying is, I know every one of my sheep, but they know me also. John 10, 4, he goeth before them and the sheep follow him. Listen, for they know his voice. Amen. The most distinguishable trait between sheep and goat, as far as them being divided, is that the sheep tend to follow and the goats go their own way. Now, something interesting, and I want to share some of this with you because I can't hold it all in. I'm about to bust. I've learned all this knowledge about sheep and goats. And listen, I even went and interviewed a farmer that farms goats. You say, are you crazy? It's just, I mean, what are we going to learn? Is it a livestock lesson today? Yeah, it's a livestock. You know why? Because you're one of them. You're either a sheep or a goat. So I watched these things, and I watched these shepherds amass all these sheep and goats, and they were up on this hillside. And as I told you, I watched this, and you say, well, it's either sheep or the fat ones, the furry ones. No, that's just the picture you read in that little children's book. Some of those sheep and goats look alike. Now, when they came off of the ark, yes, you had distinct sheep, you had distinct goats, but you know how breeds begin to intermix and intermingle? Some of these goats were fluffy goats, and some of these sheep were straight-haired sheep, and they had horns, and you really couldn't tell what were the sheep and the goats, but the shepherds knew, and they divided the goats from the sheep by going and calling those sheep. Come on, sheep, come, sheep. Now, it was in a different language, so I'm not going to tell you that, but they were calling the sheep, calling the sheep, calling the sheep, and the sheep, one by one, would come over, and they would gather together in their little circle, and the goats were frolicking and going around, and the goats were here, but they had to have their sticks pushing the goats because the goats wouldn't stay in line. They had to have a couple of people surround them. But the sheep came over there just because the guy was saying, come sheep, come sheep. Now, listen, there were some little sheep that got caught up in the goats. And I was watching. I found this interesting. I rewinded, then I saw it. Then I rewinded and I saw it because I saw some interesting thing. Some of these little sheep got lost in the goats. With all that was going on with the goats and with all the activity that was going on, some of the sheep got in there and it got loud and they couldn't hear the voice. It's good. And so the shepherd goes over and he's calling and he's calling and he's calling. They still don't hear it because they're just exploring and doing everything. And all of a sudden he reaches down and grabs one of their legs. And when he grabs their leg, he puts them in the arms and he carries them back over. And then I'm watching over. You could pan over to the sheep that are watching. And there's some of the sheep that are really concerned because they know that sheep and they're, yeah, yeah, you know, whatever they would say, come on, come on, come on, he's coming, in sheep language, right? You know sheep language, do it with me. Yeah, that's what they were saying. Come on, come on. And I thought to myself, I've been that sheep lost in the goats before. Well, then I thought, man, let me find out some more. And I go talk to this goat farmer. And here's what he tells me. First thing I said, can you tell me the differences between the sheep and the goat? And he said, listen, the biggest thing I can tell you is that it's like goats have a different nature. And I thought, oh, man. Oh. Yeah, I'm on the right track, like a bloodhound. Okay, tell me what you're talking about. What kind of nature do they have? They've just got a different nature. It's like, hey, the sheep, I can put them in a place and they'll all gather together and listen, if something comes upon them, they'll gather together in this little place and they'll just team up like this. They're not what you would say, you know, we say sheep are dumb. It's just that they look for some kind of leadership. You take them to this place and you put them, but goats are different. Goats have their own mind. Goats are explorers. They have a different nature. I tell people when they buy goats, listen, quote from him, I tell people when they come to me to buy a goat for a pet, you can take that goat to the most plush green yard and put them in your yard and they'll eat your bushes instead of your yard. The goats want the leaves before they want the grass. They want what they want when they want it and they'll explore. Even though sheep tend to wander, they still know where to come back to. Goats, they just go their own way. And when trouble comes, if a dog comes near or starts barking, the sheep come together. The goat's mentality is every man for himself. And I thought back to those times I was watching that at the livestock sales where those sheep would gather together in the huddles and the goats were running and jumping and doing all these things. And I thought, the sheep and the goats, the sheep and the goats. And Jesus is saying, the sheep and the goats. When he says in Matthew 25, is that at the judgment, Jesus, the great shepherd, first of all, will definitely know how to distinguish the sheep from the goats. And it won't be because the sheep look like sheep and the goats look like goats. It won't be because the sheep are talking like sheep. It will be because the sheep have followed his voice. Who will know? Oh, everybody would know. No, no. The Bible tells us that there are people among you that are actually wolves. They're just in sheep's clothing. He uses that term. Right. It's not like the old saying, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. No. There are people that can act like a sheep and talk like sheep and really not be sheep. And don't be thinking about that person. Church is not the time you come in here and think about that person. It's the time you come in here and think about this person. I want to make sure that when you leave here today, you know if you're a sheep or a goat. You see, we think follow, that word, and we don't look any deeper into it, but to follow is to respond. You see, you can say you'll follow, you can say I'm listening, but until you actually respond to a voice, you're not following that voice. The same way that Hunter responded to my voice and did. He could hear my voice, but in order to follow my instructions, follow my voice, he has to actually do what? He has to do it. They responded to his voice. Please understand, when the Bible says sheep know the voice of the shepherd, it's not that they just hear the voice. They respond to the shepherd's voice. And I want to give you this example because, listen, there is no voice, audible voice from heaven that is going to come and call you to God. You're not going to be sitting there and hear the TV stop, the picture change, and all of a sudden, you know where you hear that voice in? Inside. And we'll talk about how that comes, but let me tell you what the first voice is always going to say. The first voice is always going to be a call for you to come to the shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, you can read this sometime, but put it on your notes. Hebrews 13, verse 20, the Bible says as that Jesus identified himself as the great shepherd. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now listen, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now this is good. We begin to talk about this as Easter comes. Listen, do you know how he became the shepherd? He didn't become the shepherd by just being this historical figure. He came the shepherd by being able to call the sheep to him. How does he call the sheep to him? Listen, he calls the sheep to him through the blood of the everlasting covenant. How many people remember talking about the blood covenant? Preached on it a couple of years ago. The blood covenant issued back in the Old Testament time, the blood covenant was what was required in order to make peace. And for us to make peace with God, even back to the Old Testament, there required a blood sacrifice. You couldn't come into fellowship with God until your sins were forgiven. Your sins couldn't be forgiven until you had an act of repentance. Your act of repentance was to bring the most perfect lamb that you had. Remember, even back to the days of Moses, when Moses was commanded by God, take the lamb, keep it in the house, nurture it, it needs to be your best, then put the blood on the doorpost. It was representing the blood covenant. The blood covenant is still in effect, has always been in effect. It's just not a lamb or a sheep or a bull. God said, I'm sending the perfect lamb. John said, behold the lamb. Revelation 5 says, in the midst there stood the lamb. The lamb is Jesus Christ. He made the blood covenant. So his call to the sheep is through that covenant. You can't come to the shepherd until you accept the first call, which is a call through the blood covenant, which says, if you want to come to me, you have to receive what I've done. What did he do? Jesus Christ, acting on behalf of God, demonstrated the love of God, Romans 5:8, and came to this world, lived as a man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and said in John 3:16, God so loved you that he gave me his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in me should have everlasting life. So what do you have to believe in? You have to believe in the blood covenant. You have to believe that you have to come to God through Jesus Christ. Well, why do I even need to believe it? Because I am a sinner and you are a sinner. We have sinned before. Anyone in here never sinned? We need you to preach. We've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that God is holy, and if God is holy, he can have nothing to do with sin. Me being a sinner, I am blocked from God by my one thing, by my sin. But praise him, he loved me, he loved you so much that he sent Jesus to carry out the blood covenant, so that if you accept the blood covenant and you accept the life of Jesus, the perfect life that he laid down and his death, and say, I want to use that to get to you, God, please, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. Forgive my sins. Let Jesus come into me and be my Savior. I will follow you. When you get saved, you're asking to be a sheep. That's the first call. Don't go trying to do what you think Jesus is trying to tell you as a shepherd before you even become a sheep. The first call is come be a sheep. And we can't follow if we don't respond. You see, we respond by acknowledging that God is who he is. We respond by confessing that we are who we are, sinners. We respond by asking for forgiveness. We respond by asking for that salvation. And we respond by saying, I'll be your sheep. That's basically the act of someone getting saved. I guess we need to consider what this call sounds like. And Jesus gave us many examples. The Bible and the apostles gave us many examples of people and the way that Jesus would call. You see, if we respond to the call of the great shepherd by accepting what he's done for us and dying for us, then we become a sheep. How many people believe that? But then do you know what happens? Then we're supposed to continue to follow the voice of the shepherd and do the will of the shepherd. How many times do we sheep mess up with that part? Can I get a witness, or am I preaching to myself? We can tell you there was that day in 1975 that I realized I was lost and the preacher was preaching and I realized I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I came down, and I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, I became a sheep. And that's what we've got locked in our mind. But the following after that is a little sketchy. No, I've followed when it's been good for me, but other times I've had my own ideas. So I began to see that, hey, you can accept him as a sheep and try to follow him as a goat. You see, the goat would rather eat the leaves of choice instead of the grass that the shepherd leads them to, right? They have their own nature, that own idea of what they want to go back and do. Well, it's just not convenient for me to follow the command of the shepherd this morning. How many people this morning had the thought, I'm going to go to church this morning? Do you know that more people than you had the thought and didn't respond to it? So you follow what the shepherd says. Unless you talk yourself out of following what the shepherd says to do what you say. You see, we all have a goat nature. Come on. We have a goat nature. Anybody here have a goat nature besides me? I was born with a goat nature. It makes me want to do what I want to do. I struggle with it because it's really convincing sometimes, right? My goat nature has me looking out for me. My goat nature makes me want what I want. But the sheep nature that came into me battles the goat nature. And the only way that I've seen to win that battle is to keep the shepherd close. If I get in to where I'm hearing everything that the goats are saying and it's getting too loud and it looks fun and it's doing this, then I'll quit hearing the shepherd speak. And it's happened in my life. And I'm going to tell you, a bad time in your life is when he reaches down and grabs you by that back leg. Screaming and carries you back to where a place you have no choice but to be with the sheep. You've had sheep that were trying to tell you, they were over in the herd and they were saying, come back, come back. Had parents like that. Had friends like that. Had people in my church family like that, but I was with the goats, man. Doing what I wanted to do. Eating what I wanted to eat. Come on. The only way that I've found to keep trying to follow like a sheep was to keep close to the shepherd where I could hear him. Now I have a choice to put myself around him or not put myself around him. I'm flirting with my goat nature when I don't put myself around him. When I have a choice and I know, what do I tell you every day? Whenever you leave here today, I'm going to say, hey, join us tonight at 6 o'clock. You want to be where God's going to be. Is he going to be here tonight? Absolutely. We're going to share his word. So be where God's going to be. If you're going to talk to him and pray to him, that's where he's going to be. If you're going to open his word and read about him, that's where he's going to be. If you're coming to worship him and sing praises to him and read his word, that's where he's going to be. Be where he's going to be. Put yourself near the shepherd. You know, whenever I started following my goat nature instead of my sheep nature, it's when I took myself away from the presence of the shepherd. You say, well, he's around you all the time. Right, he's there. I just wasn't hearing him. This is about sheep and goats. Maybe it's just to me. I never heard God speak in this voice like I heard on the Ten Commandments. Moses? You ever heard that one? No, I haven't heard that one. It's the voice that speaks within. You say, well, how does his voice get within? Well, see, God, the Supreme Shepherd, sent Jesus, the Great Shepherd. And when Jesus left, he told us in John 16, I'm leaving, but I will send to you a comforter. You know what a comforter is? A shepherd. And what happens then? Then the voice gets inside of me. And the voice speaks to me. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, listen to how Jesus describes the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. So he's talking about guiding me. He's talking about speaking to me. He's talking about showing me. That's what the shepherd does from inside, right? I realized a long time ago, I could try to raise my kids. I'm the dad. I'm supposed to teach them and lead them and guide them, right? I could try to lead my kids and teach them to be good people. Hey, be a good person. This is what's right and this is what's wrong. And I tried to do that. But understand, I have no control of that. They do not hear my voice once they leave the driveway. It's fine when they're under my hands and I can say, you're not doing that. But when that child leaves the driveway, that's when life changes. There are people in here, and I listen all the time, and I try not to, like, even to sound like I don't give it credibility, because you hear people that have small children. We had four. You hear people that have small children. It's so hard doing this, and it takes the time. It is nothing compared to not having your children under your hands or holding onto your pockets where you have some sense of control. When they leave you, it will not be your voice that resonates. Make sure when they're in your house, the Holy Spirit, the shepherd's voice, gets inside of them. Because it is up to them to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit when they leave. And if you don't teach them what that voice sounds like and feed them that voice and show them how good it is, when Hunter brought his gummies back up here, do you know what? Everybody was looking. How many people wanted to follow them? Everybody. Do you know, as Christians, when God blesses us as His child, when we have that provision, when we have that lack of fear when something happens, when we have that ultimate trust and faith, and we know that, listen, it's troubled times, but God's got me, He's leading me, He's doing this, we need to come back and show it to people that says, this is what you get for being a sheep. Because if we do that, others will want to be a sheep. Don't answer this out loud, but how many of you are confident that you're sheep this morning? Right now, you run it through your mind. Okay, easy question, you know if you are. How many people know people that are not sheep, they're not saved? Did you invite them to come and listen to the word this morning? When's the last time you've invited them to church? So you're a sheep that knows. You're on this side and you're saying, I know God's doing it. I've got lost people. I know they're goats. Would we be a sheep that stands there and didn't say anything? You say, well, you just don't know these people. They don't respond to it. It's not up to you to figure out whether they're going to respond or not. It's up to you to tell them where the shepherd is. It's up to you to show them the peace and security. The same one David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That was his thing, you know? And this came from a king, a leader. We're called to be out, to go out and be those sheep that show the providence of God, the provision of God, the protection of God. That first initial call is that call to come and be a sheep. The second call that you'll hear from the shepherd, the third call, the fourth call, the fifth call, the sixth call, the 10,000th call is not a call to salvation. It's not a call to come back to Him. It's a call to stay in fellowship with Him. It's a call of instruction to Him. I need instruction, don't you? His sheep follow His instruction. They follow His leading. This happens after they become sheep. And so I began to think, we're not really considered His sheep until we respond to His initial call. We come to Him, we accept His salvation and follow Him. But then I began to consider, wouldn't a real sheep come from more than just what they could get? That sounds like a goat. The guy told me, yes, the only time you can call goats is when you have food in your hand. Otherwise, they're not going to respond. So when I come to gather them together, I have to bring something for them. They don't just come because they want to be with me. They come because I've got something for them. Well, that sort of narrows the whole sheepfold down, doesn't it? I began to say, oh me, am I following His instruction when it's for somebody else instead of just me? Am I looking at the amount of inconvenience that it will take for me to follow Him, weighing my inconvenience against another person's fellowship with God? This is what a call sounds like from the shepherd. You ready? Come to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your soul. He's telling you, I've got a pasture for you. I've got protection for you. Come, come. That's Jesus' call. That's Matthew 11:28. He tells us, come to me. I'm telling you, in the goat world, there's nothing but confusion and busyness and worry and stress and anxiety. And we chase this thing and we get this thing in our mind and we begin to chase it. And we realize the only way we can have it is to have the wealth to have it. So we begin to structure our whole life to put us in a position to have wealth. And we go out each day trying to accumulate that. We put it together for a week. We put those weeks together for a month. We give it out to everybody that supposedly gave us the things that we needed to have. We turn around, we do it again. It's in a grind. At the same time, we're trying to be here and experience that and that. That's no peace, is it? Jesus said, here's a better plan. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sounds like a different plan, doesn't it? You're going to have to be a sheep. You're going to have to depend on somebody besides you. You're going to have, let's call it something, faith. Faith is trusting God more than yourself. So we need to be able to see that Jesus' call always is follow me, follow me. And the only way that you can get to be a sheep is to come through Jesus. You realize that you can't be born into the sheepfold? Do you realize that you can't go to church and them decide you're in the sheepfold? You come to here, you do this, and we're going to deem you a sheep. We're going to certify it. Because you've done this, we're going to make you a sheep. And then some people think, well, because I've done this and I've tried to do these good works, it's going to make me a sheep. Listen, this is the shepherd speaking, not me, the shepherd. Listen, Jesus said, John 10:9, I am the door to the sheepfold. Listen, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. He said again in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He's the only way to get into the sheepfold. Amen? The only way. You can't come any other way. Well, what about works? Listen, I'll bet I've witnessed to probably 1,000 people that have given this response. When I say, do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you know you have a relationship with God? Well, I believe in God, and I hope so. You ever heard that response? I hope so. I've tried to be good. I've tried to be this and that. The Bible clearly says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works. Can any man boast? You can't get into the sheepfold through works. You can't get in through knowledge. You can't get in through family or through connections. You have to come through the door, the shepherd, and accept him. The Bible says if any man, this is Jesus speaking, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Jesus saying follow me is recorded 17 different times in the Gospels. He said follow me. Where I am, if you're really a sheep, that's where you'll be. When I think about the times in my life where the bottom fell out, I know where I was. And it wasn't near him, right? When I'm not where he is, I'm not going to have the security of a sheep, the peace of a sheep. So we need to understand that Jesus is fully aware of who the sheep are. They are the ones, get this, who have responded to his voice. Responded to the initial call and said, I need to be saved. and then continued to respond. You see, because if you're a sheep that just goes but never acts like a sheep again, you need to consider if you really got the sheep nature, because you need the sheep nature to fight the goat nature. We're born with a goat nature. Are we talking sheep and goats here or what? It's so applicable. So this judgment that Jesus speaks of in verse 32, where he divides the sheep from the goats, says that everyone is gathered in front of him and he separates the sheep from the goats. And we have to know that the great shepherd Jesus truly knows who the real sheep are. They're the ones who've responded unto him. He knows whether anybody else knows or not. Now, the next thing I thought was interesting, he tells us where he puts the sheep and where he puts the goats. Look at verse 33. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. The sheep are going on which hand? Tell the person on your right hand. Tell the person on your left hand. Are you on the right hand or the left hand? Are you on the left hand or the right hand? What's the significance of the left hand and the right hand? Get this. This is the significance. I decided to do that so that you could wake up that person that was to your right. It's just everybody. Some people were on the left hand, so I was going to say the left hand, but it woke them up whenever I said turn to the person on the right. So it accomplished everything. The right hand has significance. The right hand is the place of honor. The right hand, well, put it to you this way, is the place of favor. Think about Jesus. He came to this earth. He died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again. How many times does the Bible tell us he ascended back into heaven to sit where? On the right hand of God the Father. The right hand, the place of honor, the place of distinguishment, the place of authority, the place of favor. Do you understand that the sheep, this is what you get. You get a place of honor. I want to put it to you this way, because this is what people suffer with the most. Do you know why somebody gets discouraged in life, even Christians? The biggest reason that I've seen in counseling people, I can give it to you, is something in their life begins to make them think they don't have any value. When a person thinks they don't have value, they begin to implode. They begin to try to convince themselves. When you become a sheep in the sheepfold of God, immediately you're put on the right hand. The right hand. Why? It's a place of value. You say, well, I don't know how much value I had. Well, consider this. God had to watch his only son be slapped in the face, spit in the face, beaten beyond the recognition of a man, mocked, stripped naked, crown of thorns plaited on his hands, nailed to a cross, mocked and jeered as people went by. Why? So that you could have fellowship with God and use that sacrifice. I would say that gave you a lot of value. The right hand. The left hand. The left hand's where the goats went. There was a difference in the way that he continued to talk to them, because I see here when he addresses the sheep on the right hand, notice the first word that he says. What does he say? Come. You see that? Say it with me. Again. Isn't that what Jesus has been saying? Isn't that what the shepherd says? Isn't what that shepherd said when he was trying to call the sheep out of that flock? Come, 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 right? Follow me. Come. I think it's interesting that this was the original call of the shepherd. This is the original call to Jesus, a call of Jesus to each one of us, but it's still the same call that he's given me for the last 40 years as a Christian. He's never quit using that same call, come. And at the time of judgment, he'll use it again, come. Now, he tells the sheep what they're going to get. And the sheep ask him, why are we going to get this? He gives them this example. I want you to read this and understand it. It says, after he sets them on his right hand, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. What's the first thing that the king says when he sets them on the right hand? Somebody tell me. Come. You blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. The king answers them because they said later on, hey, when did we see you and clothe you? When did we see you and be able to feed you? When did we see you and be able to help you when you were sick? When did we see you and get you out of prison? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Do you know what he's talking about here? This is one of the most wrongly translated scriptures in the Bible. Some people have taken this and said, see, if you see something going on, that means you've done a good work, then you have received Jesus because you helped that person out that was hungry or clothed that person, and that is completely incorrect. He's talking here about the way you received him. Is he talking about an actual sick person, an actual person in prison? I don't know. How many times did he have to say it? I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Is he talking about somebody else or is he talking about him? He's saying, your heart never became a sheep's heart. It was always a goat's heart. You never left that nature. It was always about what was going to benefit you. I came to you. You never received me. You never responded. Pretty interesting here that each one of these acts that he had asked these people to do were acts of humility. They were acts of sincerity where you put what you want to the side and you act upon what you need to do. What a sheep would do, not what a goat would do. Remember, the goat says every man for himself. The goat says, I think I know better. The goat says, I want to explore while I'm in life a while. He said in the same way that you would receive one of these people, you've received me. You see, these sheep didn't act like goats. They responded to the voice of the shepherd. Not just initially, but they continued. They followed him with actions. Now, the goats are a little bit different. These are the ones that never truly became sheep. They didn't follow his voice. They had their own agenda. It was about what they wanted. They never trusted the shepherd's leading. They always wanted to explore. They looked like sheep, but they didn't follow like sheep. They would rather eat the leaves of the world than the grass of the pasture. Notice, he doesn't tell them to come. He tells them to what? Somebody tell me. Depart. He's called them to come through their life. Come, come, come. There are people that will be listening today, and listen, yes, you've heard me preach. I'm preaching the Word of God. It's not my voice that will tell you to come today. I'm preaching and speaking on behalf of God. It's Him, the Shepherd, that's telling you, come, come, come. But if you still want to explore other options of the way that you can come to God and explore and eat those leaves and go the places and do those things but not come and follow the shepherd, there will be a day when you won't hear the call, come anymore. You will hear, depart. Two totally different things. Depart. They've had a mind of their own. They didn't want to follow the shepherd's way. They didn't receive the shepherd with a sincere heart when they knew that they should have. What did they not do? They didn't take the opportunity to give themselves to something unselfishly like the stranger or someone that needed to be clothed or someone sick or someone in prison. They didn't offer themselves to the cause. He, of course, was not talking about the actual stranger or the someone that needed clothes or the someone in prison because he said, I was a stranger, I was naked, I was sick, I was in prison. Jesus wasn't any of those things. He was just somebody that said, receive me. Who was he? He's always been the shepherd. And on each one of those times, the person has an opportunity to leave their goat nature and inherit a sheep nature, a following nature. Do you know, in order for somebody to get saved, they have to say the hardest two words, whether they say them out loud or not, and that is, I'm wrong. I can't get to God the way I think. In order for a person to continue to stay with God, you know what they'd say? God, I've been wrong. Because I've been wrong on a daily basis. If not, I would have never had to ask Him for forgiveness about anything. I'm wrong according to Him. I'm not wrong according to me. I can justify and judge myself, but I'm wrong according to God on a daily basis. How about you? So I have to continually say, you're the shepherd, I'm the sheep. You're the shepherd, I'm the sheep. In the midst of that, I recognize the time that I haven't listened enough, went after my goat nature. So then He issues this judgment to the goats on the left hand, verse 41. Depart from me. They will never be called again. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Why punishment? Why would a righteous God punish somebody eternally? Because a righteous, loving God called them and they never responded. They chose their punishment. Every call from the shepherd is a call of love. Come to me, come to me, come to me. If you refuse that call by your own willingness to keep your goat nature, then you've chosen your punishment. But at the end it says, but the righteous into life eternal. The question I leave you with today is, number one, have you followed the initial call of the shepherd? Has there been that time in your life where you've responded to the initial call which says, hey, you need to accept me as your Savior? No other way will work. You need to come through me. I'm the shepherd. I'm the door. You need to accept me. I died for you. I love you. I have a blood covenant. Come to me through the voice of the blood covenant. This guy just preached it, or this friend just shared it, or you just heard it on the radio, but somebody shared the blood covenant. That's a call from the shepherd that says, come, come, accept it. And after you've accepted that initial call, you would have to say, are you following His continual call through His instructions? Are you not just hearing but actively following? Now, if you are someone who is unsure, or you're sure that you haven't accepted His initial call, do you know that you can respond to His call today and give your life to Jesus the shepherd? He's calling you today. He's saying, come follow me. And if you're somebody that has, what you need to do is the same thing that I've been convicted of as I'm studying here. Examine what kind of sheep you are. Are you a sheep that immediately knows what the shepherd is saying because you're keeping yourself close to His voice? When He speaks, are you right there where you can leave and go to where He's at? Are you keeping yourself in the midst of the goats? Are you going back to the goat nature? Are you trying to dabble and explore? There are only two kinds of people, the sheep and the goats. We're all goats to begin with. We have to respond in order to be sheep. Whichever one you are, you can either become a better sheep today by falling on your knees and talking to the shepherd and asking Him to give you strength to follow Him, or you can stop being a goat today and come into the family of God and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior through the voice of the blood covenant and become a sheep today. And let Him lead you into green pasture. Father God, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for this day. I pray, God, that You would minister today, that You would speak and use Your words to change lives today. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here, someone, Lord, that's listening, they're not completely sure that they're a part of the sheepfold. And looking at our lives, Lord, sometimes it looks just like a bunch of goats. Let us be able to examine our heart and see, Lord, if there's that time we have responded to Your initial call for salvation. And if so, Lord, let us be able to see if we continue to respond. If not, if you have those here that are listening, Lord, if those that are listening can't say for sure they've initially responded to that call of salvation, I pray, God, today that nothing would be more important on their mind. And I pray, God, for Christians today that know they've responded, but know that they could always follow you better. When they ask you for strength today, Lord, I pray that you come upon them in strength. In Jesus' name, amen.